This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And you could just see Cooper Webb would lose time exiting the corners or entering the corners because of his line selection. And then you have Max and Steve where we had to like add a little bit more TV time because we knew Max was going to be talking forever. What he was able to do in that heat race saved this championship. Saved this championship. I talked about it on the broadcast on how when Jet Lawrence gets a start, what happens? He wins.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He'll win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7, and you know where we at. We at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 15 until it. Boy, it was there where they had some race in action.
And James Stewart live on NBC this afternoon.
Last weekend, we saw Jet Lawrence come back with a vengeance and stop the bleeding 6 months of sudden death.
Huge step, Jet Lawrence back on top.
He knew he had to get off the Webb wagon because the Webb wagon was rolling. That was Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb was feeling pretty good after that race victory, leading wire to wire, basically leading everything, winning. That's what he was doing, but Jet Lawrence had to stop that. Would he be able to stop it this weekend in Philly with two rounds left after this one? Yeah. Philly, 15, 16. Two or three rounds, whatever way you want to go. With the season coming to the end, what was going to happen? Well, we saw what was going to happen, and Jet Lawrence was businesslike. Well, you know what we got to do. And we had Danger Boy and Tom Vial. Unfortunately, McAdoo was out, but those guys were going to battle. So let's do it, people. Like we always do, let's get into it. Round 15, Philly, here we come. First time in Philly in years. First time in Philly, definitely in this stadium. First time in Philly, half these boys weren't even born. Most of them wouldn't be born unless Mike Brown was racing, which he was not. None of these guys were alive last time they raced. But the track was like a normal supercross track. They had a long rhythm. One kinky part was actually the kink down the long rhythm section. Go off the start, go through there. The first rhythm section you get into, it actually had a bend to it, which was different. Actually caused some issues on some people and the qualifying. But overall, the track was pretty much a regular supercross track, except for it was one of those tracks that you had to really put it together. So when you look at it, it didn't look that challenging, but it was actually a really technical track. The dirt was different than I think most of those guys expected. When I first looked at it, I thought it was going to be really tacky, but it dried out a lot. And with the overcast, it actually brought out the moisture, so it got really slippery. And you could see that. So the guys were struggling on traction, but overall, the crowd was there. It was a regular supercross track. Whoops had good options, but those guys had to figure it out, and they did.
What happened right there, you think, James?
Yeah, like, that sand got deep, and he ran out of talent.
So let's keep it real, people. It's down to two guys, Cooper Webb and Jet Lawrence. So that's all that really matters. I mean, the other guys matter for sure, but I'm going to talk about them because it was on. Cooper Webb had to bounce back. Jet Lawrence had to continue going on. And you can tell when I was watching practice, Jet Lawrence was trying to send a message. He was riding hard. He was actually really, I would say, more aggressive than he probably has been all year. But on the track that you really couldn't be aggressive, which was end up hurting him. The first practice, he was the fastest. But then the second practice, like you could tell, like he was struggling. His brother ended up being the fastest. And it looked like the way Cooper was riding and the way the track was, it was going to be a Cooper Webb kind of track, Cooper Webb kind of day, because it wasn't a night race. But the way Jet was riding that practice and both practices, he was going to hit the ground. You could not ride that track that way. And I think this is where Jet Lawrence, you got to give him credit, because if you didn't watch Race Day Live and you didn't watch him in practice, if he would have wrote like that, the championship would have been ended because he was going to hit the ground. But he went back and the people around him, or maybe he watched footage of his brother and he saw Cooper Webb. The way he rode during the day for the races was night and day difference than how he was riding in practice. And you could just, the reason he was doing that, because he wanted to come out and let everyone know he's got that 5 points. I want to hit Cooper Webb with speed, because Cooper Webb's kind of mentioned that he already know he's not faster. And I think Jet was just kind of going there to set the tone. Now, for him, like, I thought about, if I was in this spot, what would I want to do? I think Jet Lawrence, besides riding on the track and besides the track not holding up the way he was in practice and how slippery it was, Jet Lawrence had the right mindset, because I believe he needed to show up and be conservatively aggressive, meaning he didn't need to go out there and try to hit any big jumps or do anything, hitting quads, but he needed to ride and race and go out there and try to attack like he has been. Like, yeah, you got 5 points, but the one thing you can't do is allow Cooper Webb to taste that steak. Like, he can't have a bite, can't smell it. And so you have to be aggressive, because Cooper Webb, you know, he's going to come back after Nashville after last weekend. He's got to come back and try to win this weekend. So I believe that's what you saw. And he was making mistakes. He fell over a few times. And when I say you don't want to allow Cooper Webb to get that steak, well, you saw what happened in a second practice. You know, he gets close to him, he falls over, and then Cooper Webb whips him over the finish line. Cooper Webb's feeling good because he sees Jet falling. And at that time, I think that was the second time Jet did fall. Now, you show up for the race. You could tell, look at him riding. His riding style was different, but the day started off wrong for him. One, he was struggling in practice. Then he gets off in the heat race and he goes down. Nothing his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't run in there. The track was super tight. That first corner was super tight. Goes in there, hits the front brake. Bam! He was down. That was huge. What he was able to do in that heat race saved his championship. Saved his championship. I talked about it on the broadcast on how when Jet Lawrence gets a start, what happens? He wins. Yeah, he jumps off the track every once in a while. Like, yeah, somebody get over there. Something happened. But when Jet Lawrence gets out front, he's deadly. And the reason he's deadly, which I'll explain that in a second, is because of what he does on the racetrack. It's not that he's not faster than those guys or he can't come up and he can't pass. But when he's out front, what it allows him to do is why those guys have a hard time beating him. Therefore, transition to Cooper Webb. We talked about in Foxborough how he was shorting up the racetrack, you know, hitting those lines, tightening up, getting straight up and down, trying to get the traction. Well, this track was different. Like, Cooper Webb had to, it's almost like you had to stay in the loose stuff, open those corners up. And Cooper Webb is obviously a talented guy. He knows what he's doing. But this particular track, I believe what ended up happening, he kind of got fooled the way he was able to do stuff in practice. Practice, they had a little bit more ruts. The track was a little bit deeper. And then when that rain started, it brought up the moisture and the ruts never got that deep again. So the way he rode in practice was kind of the way he rode in the race, in the main event, because they went first in the heat race. So it was pretty much like a wash. Like, he wouldn't have known how that track was going to turn out until the main event. And so it was too late. Well, you could see what was happening to him. Like, Cooper Webb was in a spot where he was still coming out tight and he was just losing time, because by going tight on this racetrack, he was spinning up. Like, he was coming out of the corner, having to stop and go. And most situations, most tracks, where when Cooper Webb does that, there's traction or there's ruts and he's trying to avoid those things. Well, when he was doing it here, he was in that loose stuff and there was more plywood around that racetrack. You could see how slippery it was. So he would come out the corner and he would be spinning up. Well, he would lose time from there, but he would also lose time going into the next section. And the way this track ended up being, you had to be able to put the track together. I feel like if Ken Roczen was here, get well soon, Ken, this was a Ken Roczen type of track, because you had to road race this thing. And for him, unfortunately for Cooper, Jet Lawrence did that better than anybody else. Like, he was awesome at doing it. And that was the difference, that when you watch Jet Lawrence from practice to the main event, was his line selections. Well, Cooper Webb was struggling on that. And then he ended up getting arm pump, and then he struggled, which made that whole situation of that stop and go, those tight lines, even worse. Because if you got arm pump, and if you're struggling trying to get traction without arm pump, you have to be on and off the throttle. Everybody knows what arm pump. That's the problem. Like, you can't work one thing, either the throttle or the clutch. So it was making it harder. And you could just see Cooper Webb would lose time exiting the corners or entering the corners because of his line selection. And you could see people coming up. Chase Sexton was able to get around them. Jason Anderson was able to get around them. And at one point, Eli probably would have got around them, but he was teammate. So Cooper Webb definitely struggled. And for him, I would say most people, it's over. But Cooper Webb, it's just Cooper Webb. Now, I will say this. I think after this weekend, he realizes that just winning ain't going to be enough. Because I don't think that Jet's smart. Jet knows that, okay, with the 12-point lead, like, he still has to go out and execute. He still has to go out. And if I'm Jet, I'm just going to beat Cooper Webb this weekend. Like, I'm just going to be in front of him because then I go in Salt Lake with some wiggle room, like a lot. But I got to be on the podium because even if I get 2 third places and Cooper Webb wins, that's only 10 points. So I still end up winning. Now, Cooper Webb's in that spot. I don't think that he's out of it. All the other riders, most of them, I would say they would definitely have after this weekend, confidence would be down because what happened this weekend happened last weekend. But last weekend, we could just say, all right, he was tied in the points. It's 5 points, whatever. I got knocked out. I ain't trying to get knocked out. Well, this weekend, he was fast in practice. Jet was on the ropes. Jet went down in the heat race. Jet didn't have the best gate position. Somehow he figured out a good gate position, but Jet didn't have the best gate position. I start right in front of him. Like, I start right there with him. He rolls away. Now, that wouldn't be a bad thing, but I get passed by Chase. Then I get passed by Jason. So with Cooper, he's in a spot because he knows that the way he's riding now, for whatever reason, last two weekends, he could be a fourth place guy riding that way. And with Jet, fourth place ain't going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen. Even if Cooper gets fourth, Jet gets fifth, it's not going to happen. So Cooper has to look at, all right, what's going on? Because Salt Lake City and Denver is going to be slippery. Now, granted, they would be different. Salt Lake would be more like this racetrack where it's loose on top and slipperiness. But Denver is going to be hard packed. And I just think what Jet has going on, knowing that, okay, Cooper is struggling and Cooper is dealing with arm pump. And me and Cole were talking before the show about arm pump is, you know, people are asking, like, is it, you know, is he struggling with arm pump? Is it something that's new? And I told him that I think Cooper's always dealt with arm pump. Like, he's dealt with arm pump. The difference is the people he's racing against, like him dealing with arm pump, just like he did in Seattle, he was still some way to be able to beat Chase. Like, he held Chase off. In the past, he probably was dealing with arm pump and he was still able, because the guys he was racing, he could still beat him. Well, with Jet, you're dealing with arm pump, you're dealing with finger pump, you got a problem. Because the dude, somewhat, I mean, as you say, he's already faster than you anyway, could be better than you anyway. So dealing with arm pump just becomes an issue now because you're not winning. Well, if you take Jet away, he's still winning. And if you want to say it's the Yamaha, which is not, it would be a lot different. Cooper wouldn't look the best he's ever looked on a motorcycle if the arm pump was caused because of the motorcycle. I think Cooper's always had arm pump. He was just able to win. And if you're winning, you're not going to tell everybody you got arm pump because, you know, why even bring it up? So it's not that. But he's been having it quite a bit this year. And it seems like lately it's been getting really bad. And lately it's costing him points and Jet's continuing on. So Cooper has to figure that part out. And I don't know, with the points gap and the way things are going, and considering that the way we kind of got here has been homeboy making mistakes, like he's been kind of making mistakes. It's just a little suspect, but it's Cooper Webb. And just like when you thought last year we came to Denver, the title turn. And so for him, he just got to keep going and hope that he figures out his own stuff, because even the way he's riding, he's not going to win the way he's riding, no matter what Jet does. But Cooper Webb does know how to do stuff. And I think what we're seeing, honestly, is the way the year probably should have been going. You know, the way things probably should have been going. Cooper's been putting himself in the right spot. So when Jet does go out, he's able to win and it gives him confidence. He's able to move on. But when you start looking at it, Jet has been the fastest. He doesn't make a mistake. he wins. Well, when Chase and those other guys get rolling, Cooper can't win with arm pump. Like, he won't be able to win. And I think with Cooper, he was, it's almost like when you see at the dog track, they have like the dogs race, they have that bunny and that bunny stays in front of them. Like, they see it, they try to keep him. And if you notice, if the bunny starts pulling away, it slows down to stay in front of those dogs. So those dogs have something to gauge off and they keep chasing it. Well, Cooper, in the beginning part of the race, he was still like there with Jet. Like, he was trying, and he was trying to get some of Jet, follow some of Jet's lines, but it was a struggle for him. And I think what ended up happening, the reason why those other guys caught him so quickly and he just kept going back, is because as a racer, once Jet got just far enough away from Cooper, then Cooper was in a weird spot. And every racer knows this. The worst spot to be at is in the middle of no man, like where you can't see the leader. So you're mentally, you can't race. Like, you can't race forward because you can't see that dude. And then you start racing backwards. So you're almost like, I can't keep moving forward. Now the guy behind me is catching me, but I don't really know what to do because I don't know why he's catching me. I really can't see what's going on front. So you're just waiting for this guy to catch you behind. And Chase ends up catching Cooper. Unfortunately for Cooper, like, once Chase caught him, then other people caught him. But I think Cooper got in that weird spot. And that's when you saw that gap with Jet, like, just pull away. Now with Jet, as I was saying, in the heat race, and him by him going down in the heat race, and it really opened up the door for Cooper, because that gate pick was huge. And it was huge because when Jet Lawrence gets a start, he wins. Most of the time he wins. He had 8 hole shots this year. He won 6 of them. 2 other ones, he fell off the track, jumped off the track, or whatever happens. But normally when he gets out front, he wins. Jet's been fast all year long. So it's not that he's not fast enough when he doesn't hit the hole shot. It's the fact that what he does when he's out front in this track, what Jet does well, and particularly the difference that I saw in practice in the heat race and the main event, excuse me, was that when Jet's out front, Jet rides his own lines. Now, if you watch Jet, when he lands off the finish line, watch what he does. Everything is, it opens up. Like, he comes out of the corner, and instead of fighting against the grain, fighting the current, Jet allows that bike to basically just, you know, drift on the outside. Like, Jet gets really close to the hay bales. So when he comes off the finish line, he opens that corner up so he arcs it so he can continue his momentum. Because in this track, the one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to have that stop and go because it's so slippery and it was rough. And a lot of those corners that they needed to get on the gas, for instance, like once you went down start straight, you get in that first corner, it was getting down to the plywood. So as I was saying last weekend on the show, when they asked me the question, you don't want to be having that stop and go and trying to build momentum. So when you watch Jet, he goes down to start straight. He opens that corner up, gets in that corner, and then he just, instead of trying to cut out, he just follows that berm all the way to the hay bale. So he comes out the corner, he follows it all the way to the hay bale, jumps on the tabletop, and he starts moving his way back over to the left, which opens that next corner back up. So what Jet's doing was basically continuing his momentum around the racetrack, kind of like what you're supposed to do in the mud, shift up to a higher gear, keep more momentum so you don't have the stop and go. Well, that's what Jet was doing well. Well, when Jet gets out front, it's not that his speed that kills him. It's his line selection. Jet gets out front, he gets a second, it allows him to run his own lines. And when he runs his own lines, he takes up the whole racetrack, takes up the whole racetrack. That's how he builds his speed. What he was doing in practice, he was trying to go fast, like bulldogging it. He was trying to go fast by just going faster into stuff, attacking things. And that's why when I was like, dude, if he rides like that, the way this track is, he is going to hit the ground. And he did. And for whatever people around him watching video, he figured that out in the heat race and main event, and he changed his riding style. But watch how Jet comes out of the first corner. He opens the corners up. He's not spinning. He just stays out there, cuts back across the track, and does that whole section. Lands off that triple, does the same thing. And now when you watch Cooper, Cooper's just a foot farther on the inside. Every corner, he's just farther on the inside than Jet. even going into the corner. He's just a little bit more straight up and down into the corners. And normally at tracks that have traction, tracks that have ruts, that works out. Where Cooper does those things, it's in the tracks to where being in the main line is rough. Like you have to fight other things, and that's where Cooper does well. Even when you go back to Foxborough, it was slippery, but Cooper can get on the gas by using that berm in the rut to actually get on the gas. So once he gets to that slippery spot, he's actually not hitting the throttle. He's not trying to build his speed there. Well, this difference was that it was slippery everywhere. So even in the ruts, it was slippery. So he's got to figure out how to build that momentum on that shiny, slippery stuff, or Foxborough, like he didn't have to do that. Now, when you look at the race and towards the end of the race, it really got apparent that Cooper was obviously struggling with arm pump. But when Chase passed him, when Jason's passed him, you notice how they had so much more speed than Cooper. Like in the whoops, they had so much more momentum. Cooper was going to the inside. Chase was going outside, tripling it in, and just having more momentum around the racetrack. Even in the beginning, like it looked like Eli was going to run in the back of him. And I think for Cooper, he was struggling big time. And then once you lock up and get an arm pump, you're not going to change that. But going back to my original point, that's the difference of why it was a big Cooper had a big opportunity in that main event when Jet didn't have the best gate pick. But Jet nailed his start. He did exactly what he needed to do, and he got out front. And that's what makes him dangerous, not because he goes faster or not because he can't come to the pack, because what he does when he's out front, he uses up the whole racetrack, and he uses it by, especially on tracks like this, he uses it by using the whole racetrack to not have that stop and go. And that's what killed Cooper this weekend. And I'm sure that was frustrating. Unfortunately for him, it got to the point to where others were doing the same thing, and then he was losing a heap of time. But that's what makes Jet so dangerous. I think for him, you got to give the kid credit, because what he does from the practice and struggling in practice, when you're fast in practice, which he was the fastest in that first practice, he goes down in the heat race. He doesn't have any chance of Jet's not riding that heat race trying to figure out lines. Jet's riding that heat race trying to get a gate pick. So he's not thinking about a bike. He's not thinking about lines. You know, he's not thinking about, oh, yeah, I'll go outside. This is where I can pass people. He's focused up. I need to get a gate pick because I need to get out to start. So he has no idea that if I ride anything like I did in practice, that this ain't going to work. The kid's smart enough to realize and listen to the people around or watch video to be able to figure that out by watching video or having the people or listen to the people around them to make that change, instead of going out there and being where somewhat in Cooper's situation. Like if Cooper watched the race after, if he watched his race on Sunday, he would watch and be like, oh, dude, that's where I lost time. Well, Jet didn't have that luxury. Well, he figured it out before he had to figure it out. And the kid went out and get dominant. But overall,
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I mean, what can you say? He stepped up and he did it, and he had to do it. And the race was won strictly because of what Jet was able to do in that first 100 yards. And what he was able to do was be out front, run his own lines, and hey, there was nothing y'all could do about it. He was gone.
Sexton, a key pass. Webb has to fight back, and he does.
Yeah, Cooper is going to have to.
Oh! Sexton right into the side of Webb.
Oh, that's not going to age well, I don't think, James.
Yeah. When he lands off that finish line, at first, you're like, okay, all right, they tangled up. And I'm like, all right, maybe he thought like Cooper was going on the inside. He's, I don't know, like whatever. But then when you watch it, it looks like he does it on purpose because he really slows down and he like moves over. But I think what Chase was trying to do is that he wanted to slow down to have Cooper be next to him so he can block him on the outside. Because if Chase would have went inside, the way how close they were, Cooper would have went outside and just slung shot and passed him going back down the straightaway. So Chase lands off the finish line and then like moves over to actually just get next to Cooper so Cooper couldn't go inside. And then it would make Cooper go outside, and then Chase would just roll to the outside as well and then block him. Well, when Chase lands and he goes to slow down, I think Cooper was moving in, and then Chase actually moved over too much, and it looks like he lands off there and tries to like brake check him or whatnot. So I think what Chase was trying to do is basically when you see guys are like coming in the corner and they slow down. So if a guy slow down to a point where the guy can't cut back down underneath them, so they're like looking at him, they're going and slowing up. That's what Chase is trying to do. He's trying to keep Cooper guessing to where he's trying to take away Cooper from going to that inside, but Chase needs him to go to the outside. So that's why he's like kind of almost holding him up to a sense, but things happen really quick and they get really close. But yeah, I don't think Chase was trying to do anything dirty. I think he was just trying to keep, because sometimes as a rider, you can be too far ahead or be too far behind. And I think that's why Chase slowed down so much, because he knew Cooper could cut underneath him. Or if he went out outside, then he was going to have a problem. So that's where that was. I don't think he was trying to do anything to Cooper intentionally. But that got close.
Chase wasn't trying to do anything. I think Chase was blocking, and he just went outside. Chase has been rolling it outside the whole time.
Oh, Webb tried to get there, James.
Yeah, well, Cooper doesn't know Chase didn't mean to do that.
Right.
But Cooper,
I said on the broadcast that, because Ricky was like, oh, that was close. And Cooper probably thought he did it on purpose because it got really close. And I don't know if they got history or whatnot to make him like feel that way. Because if they didn't have history, then, yeah, he'd probably be mad. But I don't think he would like think that he did it on purpose. He would think that like he shouldn't have did it, but it wouldn't be like Barsha or Freeze. They get no benefit. They sneeze. They did it on me per se. They tried to spit on me. Well, maybe they got history, but yeah, Cooper was definitely trying to like run it in, but he lost so much time. And that's what I was saying about his lines. He lost so much time exiting the corners that, yeah, if he was seeing red, then he was seeing orange pull away from him, and he really couldn't do anything anyway. And then you could tell, like, by that time, like, Chase was gone. Like, Chase was gone. Like, if Cooper would have ran it in on him, which, yeah, he was trying to do that, it was too late. I think what we just saw was Cooper running those inside lines like he normally has. And, yeah, he saw Jet, the lines in front of him. He saw Jet opening it up, and naturally, as a rider, the dude's pulling away from you, you're going to somewhat try to follow his lines. But when you get back into your racing and you're not, you can't see that guy and you start racing the guy behind you, you go back to what you do best. What you do best is tight lines. And so that's what happened. That's why he lost that touch with Jet. That's why Chase, when he got him and he was gone. But yeah, Cooper was seeing red, but it was nothing. It was nothing intentionally done from what I think. What Chase is doing, but of course Cooper's pissed off because he's losing, and that happened. And then yeah, he wants to try to get in, but he lost all that time out to exit the corner.
I'm so freaking pissed.
And while Cooper's figuring out whether jack on, jack off, he's got morning wood or whatnot, Jet's flowing. Jet's got everything just hanging out, just chilling. It looks like he's doing it easy. It ain't easy, but what's easy is he's got two of these back to back. And when he needed them, he went and did it. I said, just like Daytona, shows up business like, listen to the boy, listen to him. You hear that interview on the podium? You hear it? He's like, yeah. Just got me a Vegemite sandwich. Look, I ain't got to worry about El Hombre because Cynthia, she was at the race. Siggy, she was at the race. And Jason wrote good as well. Kawasaki works good on that hard pack stuff. Listen, I tell you. But Jet needed to do what he needed to do. And he needed to get another one of these. And what did he need to get? Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
In a place where the sun wasn't even out, in a place where it was cold, he was still lighting them on fire. And these was the most real special neck burns because they were important. The Web train was on fire. It was on fire. You had people jumping off the wagon, jumping off the Jet train, the Jet file. Jet was like, nah, cool. These guys can go out there. He can go out and lay wood. He can go out and be like hard, whatever, and taking the jack off, whatever. I'm going to do what I need to do because every time I need to do it, I get it done. And I got me another neck burn. And that might have been your championship neck burn for Jet. But we still got two more races left and he's got to go finish it off. But he's a well on his way. Now, the 250 class. And I said last weekend, hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Yeah, Jay, that's kind of very open-ended. What I was saying was, look, if I'm Hayden Deegan, this is what I got to do, and I got to do it this weekend. Tom Bial, I don't want to be messing with them West Coast dudes. I don't want to West Side. I don't got time for that. I don't got time. This is the time right now. And the time is for me to go out and do his thing. And Tom Bial, he's like the ninja. He's silent. He's silent. I mean, I had a chance to speak to Tom. Like, I was like, hey, bruh, do you know what you just did? I was on the rental car, but like, dude, do you know what you just did? He's like, yeah, you know, cool. Feeling pretty good outdoors. I know, but we ain't there yet. Like, you just went out there and held that dude off. So the battle was coming. We knew Hayden had to go in and create some chaos because Cameron Smack dude wasn't there. Get well soon, Cameron. And the other guys, they just up and down. Like, I don't know what, you know, the other dudes be doing. They just don't do enough. And although you had to worry about getting swole up, which Leek won that heat race, and then he went in to Hamburger. What did you call him? You call him Haymakers. You got a haymaker thrown at him. He was doing it for Grandpa. You had to worry about some other guys. It was going to be up to Tom Bial and Hayden Deegan. And we were just waiting for, and both of them get a bad start. Bam, bam. I think the way Tom was riding all day, I actually felt like, dude, he looks pretty good. This track's being slippery. You got to be smooth. It was an un-Hayden-like track. It was an un-Hayden-like track. And the reason it was like that is because you could not just go fast. As I was saying with Jet Lawrence and some of the other guys, why they would struggle is because you could not attack that track just by going from point A to point B really fast. You had to go point A, 1, 2, 8, 8, 2 to B to C. It's almost like you had to go from point A to D. That's where you want to go fast, not point A to B. And Hayden Deegan charges stuff. He does his thing. And you can see with him, he was losing time even in the main event. But by just attacking that track, you couldn't get it done. Where Tom Bial, kind of like, you know, Jet Lawrence, open that thing up really smooth, not going to do anything crazy, just going to figure out a way. So he looked really good in practice. So the heat race goes, Tom does his thing, Hayden does his thing, and then the gate drops, they both get bad start. Yeah, woo, perfect time, right? Perfect time to come through the back of the pack. Ah, something like my throttle stuck, I just hit him. But Hayden couldn't do that. Tom was just far enough away to stay just far enough away to keep Hayden from being too far up on him and giving him business. And credit to Hayden. Like, he was out there. He was trying, bro. He was trying, but he couldn't get to him. And if he would have tried to do anything, it would have been dirty. And I was thinking, like, hey, like, props to you, kid. Like, props to you. Because there's one way, and I didn't think that Hayden would be stupid. Like, there's one thing being super aggressive, and you can even be dirty to win a championship, but you know, as in certain things, like, there's dirty. Like, there's dirty. Even Vince Freeze ain't dirty. I mean, maybe you get a little dirty-ish, and some other guys get dirty-ish, but there's a difference. If Hayden would have went in and tried to break him in, it would have been something like what happened to Jalik and Seth. And Hayden wasn't going to do that. He tried beating him. Now, if he would have got closer, he would have went in and gave him the business. Ask Cody Shock how that goes. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I said he did that for seventh place. What do you think he's going to do for a win or a championship? Had no problem. And he had to do it this weekend. But those two race, and there was one point in that race where Hayden was trying in the beginning part. He was trying, and he couldn't get to him. And then Tom made a mistake. They got caught up, and then he got close to him. And boy, Tom was like, who let me get away from this dude? Like, he was making mistakes. And I will say this. That dude's legit. I said to, like, Tom a few races ago, you had to worry about him because he's won championships. But the way he goes about his business, you're just not going to get in his head. Like, he's not up and down, like, emotionally. He's going to be kind of the same thing. So for him to have all this hype and know the history of the people he's dealing with, knowing that that's the only way that dude's really going to get to me is by getting to me, to be able to deal with that pressure and hold it together on a track that fools was crashing everywhere, coming up from the back of the pack, shows you how strong he is mentally, shows you why I think he's going to end up winning his championship if everything goes right, but shows you why what I was saying earlier is like, all right, if you let him figure this Supercross stuff out, he's going to be a force because it's not going to get to him. And what he was able to do, I know he got second, but he won twice. He's going to get a neck burn just for the hell of it because that was a lot of pressure. And props to Hayden. He did everything he could to get Tom, but he just wasn't close enough. And nonetheless, it was the racing, but it was exciting because we were just sitting there waiting. We were waiting for something to happen. You had dudes crashing, had him out. You had Jalik swelling up on everybody. You had, you know, Seth doing it for Grandpa until Grandpa got like, oh my gosh, he got blasted. Which I don't even know. That was on you, Jalik. I could see how, maybe you can see how, but it was not seeing anything how suspect. And then you had Max Anstey where we had to like add a little bit more TV time because we knew Max was going to be talking forever because Max got something he hasn't had all year. What did he got for him, Cole?
Suntan, next on fire.
And we know them English, man. They sometimes need a little suntan. So Max got one, and I was pumped for him because Max fast. Max fast. He's been having some bad luck. Bike been blowing up, or he's been crashing, and he hasn't been crashing, but Max rode good. Max did his thing. So Max came up to Philly and showed out on them cheesecakes and got the thing done. While we were worried about everyone else, Max came in and did his thing. So Max Anstey, good job. Tom Vial, good job. Hey, Deegan, keep your head up, which ain't no reason to keep it down. Good job. But there's your 250 class, and I think that thing might be a wrap, but that's why we go racing 15 points. Anything can happen. And just like we saw a couple weekends ago or last weekend in Nashville, you just never know. Ask Miss Payton. You just never know. So it ain't over until it's over. But there you go. All right, Cole, is it time? Is it time for the fans? Let's get it, because they always be asking good questions. I wanted to get through this show quickly so we can get here. It's time to eat fresh this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, baby. Factor's has fresh, never-frozen, chef-crafted meals ready to go in 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options with over 60 add-ons, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto options. Are you looking for gourmet meals? They got everything from filet, or like I like to say, filet mignon, to truffle butter, asparagus. They got it all. They got it for you. And they got it for my kids. My kids love pancakes. They got a variety of options of pancakes and all the breakfast stuff. And the best part is, there's no mess, there's no thoughts of cooking. Factors handle it. All you have to do is order your menu, throw it in the microwave, in 2 minutes, you'll be ready to go. And even better, it's like having a chef in your own house, because you can customize your meals, pause, get more, whatever you need. Factors makes it right. For all my Earth lovers, make sure you check out Factors and look out for the Earth Month's East badge for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/bubblesworld50 and use promo code bubblesworld50 for 50% off your first meal and also get 20% off your next box. That's code bubblesworld50 at factormeals.com/bubblesworld50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription's still active.
All right, Andrew Ogden, 46, asks, do you still believe that Webb can make it happen and win his third title? As for me, I'm still a believer.
Andrew, what's up? Yes, I do believe he can make it happen just because I've seen crazy things happen. And I just know who we're dealing with, his mindset. If anybody can make it happen, it could be him. Now, do I think it's going to happen? That's a different time to beat. We'll have to wait and figure that part out. But yes, of course, he can make it happen. You had nothing wrong with believing. You know, I'm kind of with you there. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And like I said, if anybody could, it would be him. So great question. We'll find out in two races.
McDaniel Motorsports asks, why do they keep changing the race format? 250s usually race first. Why do they switch it up?
Yep. Another great question. I'm kind of with you on there. Sometimes it's a little bit when you get to the heat races and the LCQs, seems like it's a little unfair for the 250 class because they end up going LCQ last and then they baseline back up for the gate. But the reason they do that is because they want the stars. They want to see Jet Lawrence. They want to see Chase Sexton, Ken Roczen, Cooper Webbs. When they turn on the tube on Saturday afternoons, they want to see them stars. So they allow the 250s, they allow the 450s to go first, 250 second, but then they go back to the traditional by allowing the 250s to go first. But it's strictly for TV. It's to see the stars. And it's like, bam, that's what they want. They want you to turn on the TV and bam, that's why they do it.
Shaw 994 asks, we hear all the breakdown on Jet's riding. Did he perfect a style or is it just more he's just naturally talented and his style is just him being him?
What up, Shaw? Yes. I don't think what we're watching with Jet, because we do talk about his technique, I don't think he's got anything different. His style isn't different. It's not like when we saw McGrath where it just looked different from everybody else, or even somewhat say the Bubba Scrub, where you're like, what is that? I think what Jet has his own riding style, and kind of like what I did, I watched a lot of video and I kind of took everybody's style and made it my own. I think Jet rides like a person who rides in the sand a lot. Like he has very good balance. He carries momentum. And I guess from growing up in Lomel or where he grew up, he rode probably a lot of sand. So his style works out well when you have to be on certain tracks and supercross in general, just riding a motorcycle. He's very balanced. And I think for him growing up where he did and then racing over here, because there's not like sand tracks like that over here. I just think that's where you see the difference is where we grew up here. There's not that type. So his style is just naturally going to be different. But it does work out well everywhere. The kid's got some balance, but I would say he's perfected what he does best and is transitioning over until working in Supercross, but it's not different. It's just really damn good.
Subframe 728 asks, is Webb getting arm pump from riding over his head? He can run the pace, but it's too far on the edge, on his edge to be comfortable.
Subframe, I don't know if you break a lot of them, but subframe, yeah, maybe Cooper's trying not to break the subframe and he's getting the arm pump or whatever it is. You know, I don't know. That's a good question. As I said in the show, I think Cooper's always dealt with arm pump. I don't think Cooper, of course, maybe he's riding over his head, but it doesn't look like he's, you know, making a lot of mistakes. Usually guys is riding over his head. They look like they're about to crash at any point. Cooper doesn't look like that, but his riding style is not like that. So maybe he is riding hard. I just think if you take Jet Lawrence out, Cooper's winning, which is the same thing he would have done when he won those two titles. I think the difference is who he's racing against, and he can't win with arm pump. He has to be on. And if he has arm pump and he's struggling, it becomes more noticeable now because he's not winning compared to what it was in the past. So I definitely think it's not the Yamaha. And there could be some sense of, yeah, he's trying really hard, but I don't know if it's because he's overriding over his head and he's hanging on for dear life, which is making him have an arm pump. I think he's always dealt with it, but he's got to go faster. And since he has somebody that's faster than him, it just becomes more noticeable. So, I just think he's always dealt with it and he's not able to overcome it by winning.
Last one. Decano asks, what's Jet's headspace going into the last few rounds? And will he be able to, or want to maintain this pressure going towards the SMX series?
What was his name?
Decano.
Decano. I just wanted to ask what the name was just to make sure I mess up the name, because I'm like, Decano. I never heard Decano. His headspace is businesslike. I think when he's in the right headspace, that he goes out and dominates. I think with Jet, it's pretty simple. It's hard to do, but it's pretty simple for him. He doesn't have all these different thoughts. His thought should be, I just need to get out front. That's it. If I get out front, it's going to be hard for anybody to go fast. So his headspace, his whole race, championship could be dictated off of what he does in 100 yards. So it's not a lot to overthink. And I feel like if he does that, he'll let his natural ability do what he does. Now, for him, some of the guys, Cooper Webb doesn't have the speed. And when Jet's on, not a lot of people got speed. So if he's out front and they don't have the speed, it's going to be hard to catch him unless it's something I do. So my thoughts are, get out front. Everything else to take care of itself. And I want a neck burn. And you guys are going to get a neck burn for the questions. So give him a neck burn, Cole, for all the questions. Great questions. Hit
it. Suntan, next on fire.
Next on fire for Motorsports, Decano, and everybody else that came in. All the questions that we couldn't answer. Thank you very much. So again, keep them up. Keep them up. We'll get them. And you know what time it is? My second favorite time, maybe your favorite time, Stews and Stews. So let's get into it, people. You know where we're going. First on this list is Max Anstey. Now, yeah, I know Feld and Supercross, they gave the 450s first, and usually I get the 450s first, but I'm going to get Max first, because Max hasn't had one of these lists this year. I thought he had one of these. I thought he had the red plate, but he didn't have one of these. He just had the bigger red one of these. But Max came out there, and Max did his thing. Max was fast all day long. Max is always fast. Usually Max has some, you know, other things, and Max would have been in the same position, but Max got a good start, and then he was able to get around him. But what I'm giving Max a stew, not because he won, which he should get that too. I'm going to give you a stew for winning, but I'm giving you another stew because we came over and we said, hey, we got to let him know, like, we don't have a lot of time to talk because we kind of crunched on time. So, hey, Max, can you, like, keep it short? Max was able to keep it short. So I'm giving Max a stew for winning. And then another stew for helping us out in the TV program, because if Max would have talked, we would have had to cut something else out. And we didn't want to cut something else out because we wanted to make sure you guys got everything. So Max did all of us a favor. And I'm sure it was hard because he wanted to talk, which he had every reason to. And I love listening to Max talk. So you're going to get a stew for helping all the PV out that's watching the TV and all the producers and TV guys here. So thank you, Max. You kept it short. So you a stew, double stew. And then my next one is Jet Lawrence. Now, you came out in practice. You were like, oh, dude looks fast. Dude looks fast. Ricky would say, dude, he looks different. I'm like, yeah, he does look different. But like, he trying, which I always know he be trying. But Jet Lawrence was like trying and he was going slow, which is not a good combination. Though you leave those for everybody else. That's what you do to everybody else. You make them try. And then they look up, they go slow, and then it frustrates them. But you were in that spot. And then you came out in the heat race. You're like, all right, I'm going to go out, get a start, and I'm going to fall. That ain't good. But then you got out in front in the heat race, and I did my stats. I was like, oh, yeah, 9 out of 6. And all this stuff ends up when the Jet Lawrence pulls 8 whole shots, he wins 9 races. But he won 6 races this year, my math. So I did all this fuel. And then you came out, you made me look good. So I'm giving you a stew. Yeah, you won. And you did what you always do. And you won last weekend. And you got a stew last weekend. But I'm giving you a stew for making Stew look good on TV because you did exactly what I pointed out. So that makes you my brother, Stew. There you go. So Jet Lawrence, you a stew. There you go. And my next list is Stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because you can't catch Jet Lawrence. Pissed off because Jet Lawrence got a bad start and he went down in the heat race and then he had a bad gate position and then you were there and then you had this crazy little line, like, which I didn't even know existed. Y'all be coming out and then y'all have to lean, try to miss that rut. I was like, damn, that's pretty tight. I wish I would have thought of that, but I didn't think of that. I wish I would have thought maybe I would have had more hold shots, but it didn't work out. So you were stewed because you took that chance. Can you imagine if you did that and that rear tire would have slid in that rut, what that would have caused? So, Cooper Webb, are you pissed off because of that? Nope. Are you pissed off because Jason Anderson came on the outside of you? Nope. He didn't do anything wrong. I mean, he was going there. I mean, he didn't shoot you. You hit him. Like, so you pissed off. You pissed off because Chase, like, passed? Nope. Why? Because you're confused a little bit. You're confused because I don't know if I have arm pump because I'm trying to chase this dude. People are wondering, am I going too fast? I'm holding on. I don't know. Jay said something about my lines. Well, my lines are okay, but then I realized my lines wasn't okay and I was losing too much time, but then I couldn't change my lines. But then I locked up. Then I really couldn't change my lines when I needed to change my lines. And so I was confused on where I was losing all the time. And I knew it was my lines, but I didn't think it was my lines and my lines were just bad. But overall, my lines got me fourth place, which I needed to win, but I didn't win. So you were kind of like pissed off that your lines wasn't that bad. But then you were confused that you like, dang, but this is what I do. This is how I won all these races. What's going on? And this dude was out there falling, and he didn't fall, and he was cutting all over the track. He was all over the track, and I couldn't figure out because I never saw him, but it was one of those situations. So Cooper Webb, you were upset, but then you wasn't. Then you were confused, but then you wasn't because you figured out that it was your lines. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't, but maybe next time better lines will help you out. So Cooper Webb, you just line selection, figure it out. And then Chase Sexton, you're not confused and you're not stewed. You wrote good, dude. You wrote good. I know it's different than what it is in the past and things was, and you're trying to get fast, but you are. You're getting fast. So Chase Sexton, I don't know why I even brought you up in this segment, but hell, you wrote really good. And you're getting there. You're getting there. And Jason Anderson, I'm going to give El Hombre, I'm going to give Rango a shout out because you look good. I like that line after the triple where you land off that and you cut and you're going down. Might have been the best line, but you wasn't up there. But you did it for Cynthia. You knocked that dude down. You made him get, you're like, you got third place. Wait, hold up. Did he get third place? You got third place, right? You got, bro, you get a stew for getting Cynthia third place. I mean, Susie. No. What's her name? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Teddy. What's her name? No, it's Tara. That's what it is. No. What, his name's Siggy? Yeah, Siggy. That's right. You get a stew for getting Cynthia. She was there, too. She came out for the cheesesteaks. Jason Anderson, Rango, you wrote good. So that was my list, people. Everybody really wrote good. Everybody was safe. 250 class lived up. Philly, y'all showed up. Literally, y'all showed up. Y'all were hanging out. The weather held out good. Jet Lawrence won again. Cooper Webb has to figure it out, which he probably would. Chase Sexton, he rode good. El Hombre came out for Siggy. He came back out and Max won, and he didn't talk for us because he knew what he needed to do for TV Land. So that was it from round 15, where you saw what you just saw. You saw what I just said, and that's what it was. Until then, round 16, there go to Denver. Hopefully people keep everything attached, which you will. Eli Tomac, still doing your thing. Until then, I'll see you next time. And that's it. Bye-bye, people. Bye. I'm not walking away. I'm not. I'm going to do something different. I'm not walking away. Cut the camera, Cole. Cut it off. Say cut it. Cut it.